I think if there is one team that's on the bubble right now, East and West, that could surprise in the playoffs, it is this team. Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I hope everybody's well. Tim, February's over. Second last day of February 27th. I'm excited you're with us. You're in the dark. If you're watching on YouTube, and Tim's shaking his head because he doesn't want me bringing this up, but, you know, we try to put on a good YouTube experience for you, and Tim just is in the dark. And he claims he has a light. He's got the windows open, but it's just shadows all over the place. Would you like to address this, Tim, and apologize to the people on YouTube?
I do not apologize. You know what's crazy is that this room that I'm in is super well lit. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It is perfectly lit. I have the overhead light on. I have this desk light on over my face. You would think, like, it's so bright in here. For whatever reason, my camera's dark or something. It's not me. It's everyone else. So, yeah, I do not apologize. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see me just fine. Thank you very much.
That's par for the course with you millennials. No accountability whatsoever. You're dark. I can barely see your face.
Okay.
Which at the end of the day is a bad thing because you're the face of the program. People love seeing you. Any updates on the house, Tim? How's it going? You all moved in?
We're all moved in. Just details now. Just little things. Like we're getting a little kitchen table. Like a little, I think, what'd she call it? A little bistro table or something to eat at? I don't know. But yeah, we're all moved in. It's gone well. It's really good.
Wow. Very good.
How are you? How's your house?
I was waiting for you to ask because I'm the one building house and you never ask about me whatsoever. It's me. Just suck up all the energy and then I just sit here and try to get a word in.
The only reason we're even talking about this is because I put it on the agenda. So don't even give me that. Come on.
You're right.
And now he's going to be mad that I interrupted him. Okay, go ahead, John. Let's go.
Are you done?
Yeah, tell us about the house.
Boy, oh boy. Floors are in. Very exciting. Boilers up and running. Very exciting. The siding's going up as we speak. So it's coming along, Tim. You'd be very impressed by the state of the house. You haven't seen it at all. So when you come up to Traverse City next, it's going to be very, very nice. I'm super excited to the point now where my mind has already shifted to I'm going to rent out the house I'm living in now. So I need to start fixing that up so I can put that on the market because I will be carrying 3 mortgages. I already am now with the construction mortgage, but it'll be a full-on traditional home loan in 2 months, hopefully. I got to get some do-re-mi coming in. This podcast has took a turn for the south this year. We got dumped by Nation Network, so there went all our money. I'm not doing games with the Hawks. That took a turn for the south, so all that money I thought was going to come in this year. You know what? At the start of the year, a full disclosure, everybody here knows, and all our listeners know, I'm a open book. I'll tell you everything. The start of this year, I was excited. I'm going to do games for the Blackhawks. We've got all these exciting sponsors lined up. I'm like, I'm building a house. And I think I told Tim or somebody, said, worst case scenario, those two things go south and then I'm in trouble. No, lo and behold, both of those things went south where it went from, I think last year total, it was a lot of money we made. It was a good year last year with my Chicago and the podcast. We did well. And then it went to zero overnight, absolutely zero. And I'm just like, hemorrhaging. I'm like, we're scratching and clawing, Tim, month to month, you know? And don't take this to wrong. Like, I have money saved up from hockey, but I don't want to touch it. I have 8 daughters. I got a retirement to look forward to. So I'm just like scratching, clawing month to month, trying to cobble together, you know, how to pay for stuff. And my kids, they keep getting braces. We had 2 ER visits the last week and a half where things just happened and my wife panicked and she's like, I got to go to the ER. Got to pay for that crap. There's just a lot. It's just wild. My kids keep eating. Oh, it's just so, yeah. The house is good. I don't know how we got on that tangent, but the house is looking really good. The floors went in yesterday. They're finishing up today. The tile guy's in there. The tile looks awesome. My boiler. Let me just get this out here. And then I know you want to say something about how stupid I am. My boiler's in. I have an indoor wood boiler. It's made by Alternative Heating Source. It's a beautiful E210 wood gun. Look it up if you're near a computer. It's beautiful. Took a long time to get to this spot, but it's in Tim. I throw wood in it once a day and it lasts for like 16 hours. It's so incredibly nice to the point where I literally, and this is, it's been in for 4 days, 5 days now. I will go there at night and just stare at it. I will for like 20 minutes, half an hour. And I just walk around and I push some buttons and I feel the pipe when the water's going through it. And I'll go and check the manifolds in the house and I'll touch the floor and the floor is warm. And it makes me excited. It makes me happy. You know, very few things I get joy from these days. Obviously, my faith and my wife and my kids, great. It's my boiler that does it for me. Like that's what's really getting me out of bed in the morning. It's a lot of fun looking at that thing. We got the pipes all on the wall. We got the pumps. We got everything. We're still not done with the controls just because we had to get it up and running for the floors to go in. I have a really neat backnet system I'm doing so I can have everything controlled on one panel in the house. And I can look at all the zones and all the pumps and I can control them from one spot. But that's more of an engineering side, controlling side. No one cares about that. But it's a lot of fun, Tim. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't even know where to start. All that stuff is true. If you'd like to contribute and help the cause, go buy some merch. Go sign up for the Patreon. It's going to be great. The boiler stuff. It's funny because Valentine's Day was obviously like 2 weeks ago. And I saw this meme that was like, hey, what are you doing for your woman for Valentine's Day? And the guy who's dating his girlfriend is like, I got her chocolate. I got her a necklace. We have a dinner reservation at 8:00. And the guy who's been married for 5 years is like, we got a new garbage disposal last month. So we're all set.
Oh, that's funny. Mine was I got her. This was the first year I did practical stuff. And she really wanted a massive pot for the stove. Because my wife does these big soups or pasta sauces or stews or whatever. So I went and got out like I bought her an industrial pot and it comes to the house and she opens it up and she goes, John, that doesn't even fit on our stove. It's too big. It's like 40 gallons. It's 40 quarts. It's huge, Tim, like huge. And so I got to send it back. It's in the car right now. And then I got her a salad bowl, like a salad. One of the big wood ones. That was it. It was a really depressing kind of Valentine's Day, but it is. You know what's not depressing is this time of year. You want to transition into hockey, Tim, or stay on this a little more?
Let's do it. But before we get to the deadline stuff, I want to just quickly bring up that tweet that you sent out. Was it yesterday or the day before? Because we see stuff all the time of like, who's the most hated NHL player? Who's a guy that you hate unless he was on your team? And you said, hey, who's some player with no haters? And I did not anticipate this. Probably 1,000 responses across all the social media platforms and people like it got picked up by Daily Faceoff, all this stuff. And it's really funny. And it's great. Like the most common names you see are the ones you'd expect, like the Bobby Orr and Yzerman and Marc-Andre Fleury and names like that. But the best part of it is not the responses. It's that like someone will say, Nick Backstrom. And then someone will reply to them, no, I hate him. He's not a mover. There's like dozens of that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's cool. Go check it out. There's some good responses there.
I think it's funny. Again, we're a full disclosure podcast. Tim was the one who tweeted that out, but he's being very kind in saying that I did it. That was all you. I don't tweet very much, but when I do, it's not as successful as when Tim tweets it. Because we share that Twitter profile just because I don't have time. You know what I mean, Tim? And I think it's okay. Not so much. I'm excited for you. Wedding bells are around the corner. Be honest. I've been honest here. Have you looked at a ring, an engagement ring?
I have not been ring shopping.
Have you looked at them?
That's all I'll say.
Why don't you open up to the listeners? What's your problem?
I will open up about other things. There are some things I'm just not going to talk about. And you know that.
I wish you were different.
How's things with Danielle since the whole Super Bowl thing? That must have been pretty. You were pretty upset that day. Have you guys resolved that?
Slept on the couch ever since. I am just still very no. No, it didn't get resolved. Once you've been married 16 years, you have a couple days of just like that sucked. I really wish you didn't do that. And then you move on. You move past it. It just gets put in a file for later. For when I do get upset. You know what I mean? I'm banking it for when I want to do something. I'm like, you stole that from me. You know, like you really ruined that day for me. I get this one. So yeah. It's trust me, it's in the file and I will bring it out at some point, but it's not the time. I want to go home in April. for my mom's birthday, and my older brother will be there and my younger brother will be there. And I'm going to pull it out then, because I know she doesn't want me to go, because if I do go home, you know, I get with my brothers and we maybe have a couple too many. And she and I'm nervous about that, but I might bring it out then and say, I need this. I need to get away. So anyways, moving on. We get this. We've already been talking for like 10 minutes. We got to get to the hockey. The people don't care about that sort of thing. So anyways, it is trade deadline time. March 7th is vastly approaching, 8 days away. So Tim and I are starting to prep. We're doing our Bleacher Report episode on the 6th and the 7th. So check those out. I think we might just reuse those for our podcast because it's going to be so great. We're going to get a guest. It's going to be a lot of fun. But to lead up to that, before you just jump right in and talk about the players, who's available, who's going to get traded, this and that, you have to talk about who's buying, who's selling, which teams are going to fall where. And it's important to do your due diligence and dig into that. So today, what we're going to talk about now are the bubble teams, the teams that maybe don't know if they're a contender or they're going to punt and go for it next year. And there's a lot of them in the East, Tim. There are a lot of teams who could say, rightfully so, I'm a playoff team at this point in the season. Looking at the wild card rankings, the Detroit Red Wings have the first wild card spot, followed closely by the Columbus Blue Jackets, 2 points behind them. And then you go down the list, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, all the way down to ninth and 10th. All 10 of those teams are within 13 points, which, have a good week, have a good week and a half, you're right back in the mix. But for all intents and purposes, we're going to condense that. Are the Sabres a playoff team? No. Are the Penguins a playoff team? No. Islanders? I'm sorry, but no. Flyers? I'm sorry, no. We're going to talk about the real teams that have a chance to make the playoffs and maybe make some noise if they do get into the playoffs. And we're going to start with the East. And we'll start with the team that's in the first wildcard spot right now, because just because you're in the playoffs right now doesn't mean you should be a buyer. Maybe you should be a seller and just have a little bit of foresight and not get all excited, so you can prep for next year. Because in reality, Tim, all these teams are talking about, not every day you get a St. Louis Blues in 2018 who get the 8th seed and go on to win the Stanley Cup. It's very rare. So a lot of these teams maybe should be sellers. What should the Detroit Red Wings do, Tim?
Yeah, this is an interesting team. We're going to go down the list starting with them. And there's a lot of teams, like you said, that are right on the bubble. Which direction do they go? They're not totally sure yet. We're going to tell them. We're going to decide for them today. Are they buyers?
The GMs listen. They
are
do.
Are they sellers? Or except for Eisenman, he doesn't like you. Or do they stand put? Yeah, that one hurt. Let's start with Eisenman and his Detroit Red Wings. So they're playing really well. They're 5-2 in February, going back to before the Four Nations tournament. They're looking great. And you look at that team and you look at the standings, you think, okay, they most likely will not catch Tampa or Florida to sneak into the top three in their division. So their focus is more, obviously, to win as many games as possible. But strategically in the standings, they want to fend off the teams below them so they can stay in the first or second wild card. Because they really don't have a shot. I don't think, you know, statistically it's possible, but it's about those two wild card spots for the Detroit Red Wings. So are they a contender? I would say no. And I would say probably not even close. I don't think they have a chance of beating any of these top six teams in the first round or even really giving them a great series. And that's not to disrespect this group. We saw how good Dylan Larkin was. The whole hockey world saw like how underrated he is. We know these good young defensemen are great. They could make a move.
Can I just interject?
Yeah.
Lucas Raymond was also really good for Sweden. I thought he had a really good tournament considering he didn't get a lot of minutes for that team like he should have. He played great. But anyway, sorry, going back to your point.
Well, so because they're not a contender, even though they're in the playoff race, and I believe they'll make it, I don't think that they should be buyers. I don't think it's worth mortgaging any kind of future. I don't think you have a lot of contracts that people want. So you're probably not sellers either. And I think it's more about just hanging on, getting into the playoffs, getting these guys some experience in the playoffs. I looked it up. Dylan Larkin hasn't played in the playoffs since 2016, about 10 years ago.
First year.
He played five games. It was a five-game series. So he's basically got zero playoff experience. He was 18 years old at the time. And then you obviously haven't seen anything from Raymond or Sider or Edvinson or a lot of these kids. You got some guys on the roster that have playoff experience, like DeBrincat, for example. But yeah, I think you hold. I don't think you do anything drastic to add to the roster because it's just not worth it. Not worth giving up young picks or prospects or anything like that. And I don't think you sell because you want to be in the hunt and you want a playoff berth. to show the progress of the organization, get some of these guys playoff experience. So not the most exciting answer, because most of these will be buy or sell, but I think the first team is going to be a hold. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Disagree. And I know you're going to be surprised by this. I think they need to buy. I think if there is one team that's on the bubble right now, East and West, that could surprise in the playoffs, it is this team. I feel like they have the vets. And mind you, again, Colorado's in the bubble on the West, so I know that. But the Red Wings have the veteran presence. They have the intangibles. They have the experience. And when you look at this roster, are they going to be better next year? Kaner's going to be a year older. He might not be there. You got Tarasenko. He might not be there. You have Cam Talbot. He's playing great for a 37-year-old. Is he going to be that goalie next year? Sherratt, Hall, Petrie, Gustafson. I think Edvinson and Sider, like you said, would do well to get some playoff experience. But I feel like your draft pick's going to be middle of the round. It's not going to be a valuable piece. Your win window, if you're the Detroit Red Wings, it isn't 10 years from now, right? Your window with Larkin and Raymond and DeBrincat and Sider and Edvinson, those five, their window, Tim, is probably in 2 years to 5 years. That's when they need to make hay. So why not get started early? Go out there, make some moves. Your first round pick is not valuable. Unless it's a lottery pick, unless it's a top five pick, it won't be a valuable pick. I think you go for it. You trade your first round pick. You have some cap space. You try to get some players that can change this roster. And I feel like where the biggest impact is needed is on the back end. Like I just said, you have two legit NHL defensemen who I really like, Edvinson and Sider. You know how I feel about the other guys. I've made it widely known. I hate them. Now, not a perfect hatred like Liam O'Brien. That is an absolute, fully perfect hatred for that guy. Like, all-encompassing. It's just been thought through, and I still despise it. These guys, I just don't think they're that good at hockey. We got Justin Hall, Gustafson, Ben Sherratt. I feel like their time has passed. They could use some help on the back end. I think their forward group is solid. I don't think you can... you obviously can improve, but I don't think that's where the need is. So if I'm Yzerman, which I'm glad I'm not, if I'm Yzerman, I'm trading my first round. I'm trading my prospects. I'm trying to make this team better. I'm making the playoffs. And then you make some noise. I do think if they got into the playoffs, they could bounce somebody in the first round based on the Capitals are the first seed team. They're susceptible in my eyes to an upset. So I do think you buy. And you buy hard if you're the Detroit Red Wings. As strange as that is to hear from me, because I'm one of their biggest critics. You got Larkin, you got Raymond, you got Kane, you got DeBrincat, you got Tarasenko. You go, baby, and you go buy. Who knows? Yzerman will probably screw it up.
That is surprising, though. You're the one who's always like, hey, listen, let's be honest. Are we contenders? The answer to this question is obviously no. And I get the point made about, like, hey, maybe they can upset the Capitals. I think if there's ever been a first place team that was primed for an upset in the last few years, it's probably them. But I just don't see how that makes you better. I say that with the caveat that, like, I think they stay where they are, first or second wild card, and they make the playoffs. I'm not saying buy to, like you need to buy in order to get take the playoffs, get the 5-6 game series that you can get that under their belt, and you make those moves in the offseason. You have over $10 million in cap space. You have a couple expiring contracts. You have a few bad ones that we've been pretty critical of, but I don't think you do anything to mortgage the future, because if they do it right, this could be the beginning of a 10-year window where they're serious contenders. That's their hope and plan, so I don't think you do anything to mess with that.
Tell you what, getting Kopp on the IR, it's a good thing. That opens up a lot of options for them. But no, I think you go for it. I think you've punted and kind of played around the outside a little bit when it comes to free agency. You need to go for it. You need to try. And again, there's not a lot out there as far as, trade deadline acquisitions. There's not a lot of big names you can go and get. So he's going to have to get creative. He's going to have to make something out of nothing. But you, in my opinion, you go for it. This is your year. You need to start flipping the switch from, maybe we got to win. We got to win now. Let's go. You got Kane, you got Tarasenko, you got Talbot. You're an old group. Let's go. All right. Second wildcard team, Tim. Who we got?
The Columbus Blue Jackets, which is obviously one of the NHL's, you know, best stories this year, going back to obviously the tragic offseason. No one expected them not to be like a basement dweller, let alone in a playoff spot at this point in the season. So they've surprised everyone except for maybe themselves. That's what they always say, right? They beat a great Dallas team the other night. And Werenski, I think, is my Norris pick. He's just been incredible all season long. And they have a ton of young talent that is flying under the radar that I don't think gets enough attention. And certainly not in our show, but you got Marchenko, who's a legit star now. He is probably a top three, top five most underrated players in the NHL. 59 points in 55 games this year. You have Kent Johnson, who's hurt by injuries in the last couple of years. Now he's looking good, 39 points in 44 games. Voronkov, 39 points in 49 games. Then friend of the show, Adam Vantilium, including him just because we like him, 35 in 58 games. So you've got a really good young core. But unlike the Red Wings, and this is why it's different for me, I don't trust them for the next 2 months to hold off the teams behind them to hang on to their playoff spots. You've got the Bruins, the Rangers, the Senators, and a couple other teams that are deep threats. I don't trust Columbus to hold off those teams. So I think if you're the Blue Jackets, you sell. And the good thing for them is that they have a couple of expiring contracts or near expiring that I think, not that they're super valuable, but they're worth trading for if you're a contending team. Sean Corrali is a great third or fourth line center. JVR, just for like a league minimum veteran presence, he's contributed the last couple of seasons where he's been. Ivan Provorov and Dante Fabro, two great guys in the back end that could just make your top four defense just a little bit better. And then Matthew Olivier is a joke, obviously. He's not signed yet. I don't know why he's not. He should be signed any day now. But yeah, I think if you're Columbus, you sell respectfully and you get ready for the future.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a great season for them. They're all playing really, really well, but they have no business, you know, pushing for the playoffs. I think you regroup, like you said, and you know, they got some players that you would maybe want to trade. But again, if you're Columbus, you really have to weigh. And this, I think about the Blackhawks last year and the mistake that they made. Do you just kind of keep drinking the Kool-Aid about, oh, but they're having such a great season and this is going to continue happen year after year after year? Let's keep them, even though they're a vet. I'm looking at a guy like Sean Corrali, even a Boone Jenner, their captain. Those guys where, yeah, it's great, and they're an impactful player on the team, like Chicago did with Nick Foligno.
And Dickinson.
You could have got a lot for him last year. He was a valuable piece, but no, it's a feel-good story. He's good for Bedard. He's good for the young guys. He's a good guy in the locker room. Let's re-sign him for 2 years at $4 million. Mistake. Absolute mistake. As much as we love Nick Foligno, friend of the show, should have traded him. So if you're Columbus and you're looking at that and you go, okay, well, Boone Jenner's having a great season. You know, Sean Corrali, he's doing pretty good. You trade them. And you trade them. Yeah. Their value will never be higher. And you get something for him, even an Ivan Provorov on the back end. I'm sorry. You have to regroup. You have to build around the Werenskis of the world. You have some good pieces on this team. And then you go at it again next year. You have a ton of salary cap space coming into next season. Then you can make a splash. But I think you nailed it, Tim. It's been a great year. It's been a lot of fun. But we have to build for the future. And we can't invest in this team. So it's time to start trading some guys, even a Jack Johnson. The team would take him, 38 years old, vet defenseman, make him your 7-8 defenseman. You could get a fifth or sixth rounder for him. Yes, that's good. That's a good return for him. So it's time. Sellers, yeah. 100%. Columbus Blue Jackets.
And again, I say it respectfully. You have a bright future. You've proven that with this group. So I think you tinker just a little bit and sell off what pieces you can and know that you're going to be back. And these kids are stars. They're going to be budding stars. So it's great to see. All right, next we go down the list here, and there's a three-way tie just outside the wild card race, which is 62 points each. We'll start with the Boston Bruins, which we've talked about already in the last episode or two. They're bad. They're a bad hockey team. They've lost four straight. They had a brutal loss against Maple Leafs the other night, which they allowed a goal with like a minute left and then lost in overtime. Mitch Marner, obviously. And they've been carried by Pastrnak, who not only is their best player, but I would say he's their only good player this year.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is crazy. He's on like a 19.
Sean's been okay for him. 37, you know?
Yeah. And then like, you're just not getting, like, McAvoy's not healthy right now. And you're just not getting a ton of great defense. And then Swayman, again, he's just been a huge problem. What holding out, you've got to back it up, right? And he's, look at his stats. He's allowing more than 3 goals a game. His save percentage below 900. This is year one of a long-term contract. I believe he's better. I think he'll be back, but not good. And so in case there was any doubt. In case there was any doubt, the Bruins 100% need to be sellers at this point. And it's a little frustrating to me that whenever Neely or Sweeney speak, they won't commit to that. And they always talk about how aggressive they like to be at the deadline. They're exploring all options. They believe in this group. And I get a lot of that's like posturing for the press and even maybe adding to the cost of their players. Like, hey, we feel like we can compete, but if you make me an offer I can't refuse on Brandon Carlo, I guess I'll take it. But yeah, sell.
Yeah. But who do you sell? And this is the fundamental question for the Boston Bruins. And I don't think Sweeney has the balls to do this, to completely reload this roster and to really break it down. Does he have the guts to trade a Brad Marchand? Does he have the guts to trade a Hampus Lindholm or a Zadorov or any of the big guys on the back end, a Brandon Carlo, to really revamp this team? Because it's fun to say, I'm going to rebuild and we're going to start next year. It's hard to implement because you're putting your neck on the line. Do you trade an Elias Lindholm who you just got this offseason? That's what it's going to take. You can't just make these minor moves. Oh, we're going to trade Trent Frederick. Great. Oh, we're sitting out. We're healthy scratching Justin Brazeau. Oh, good. Okay. Whoa. Earth shattering. That's going to really change our team moving forward when we get a second rounder for him, Don. That will not make your team any different next year. You have to fundamentally, systematically change this roster. And that means trading a guy who makes $5 million or more, in my opinion, Tim. And there's a laundry list of guys that they can trade who have value. Sorry, Nikita Zadorov. You're a great player. You had a great playoffs last year. I would go and ask him, do you want to go? Do you want to be traded? He's got a full no move clause this year, but I'm sure he wouldn't, you know, hate to be kind of thrown around out there. What's out there? Brandon Carlo, Hampus Lindholm, everybody, Tim, everybody except McAvoy and Pastrnak. Those are the two untouchables. I think if you could trade Swayman, you would, but he's not, no. You're not going to, you're not no. going. He's 26. We can go back and listen to the podcast. It's a mistake. You're signing this guy. I said, it's a mistake. You're giving him too much money. Lo and behold, 8.25 for the next 7 years. Good luck with that number, even though the salary keeps going up. And I love Sway. Good dude. That's a lot of money. But do you think, here's my question to you, do you think Sweeney has it in him, Tim, to pull these moves? Or will he just deal some lesser knowns? Well, I'm trying to trade Zonka, Frederick, Morgan Geeky. I like Geeky, by the way. I think he's a good player. He should stick around long term. But do you think he has the guts to do it?
I think it's less about whether he has the guts and more about can he get a good return. And based on what he did with Allmark last summer, I don't trust him to get good value. And I don't mean that like, hey, we should go get a first rounder for Trent Frederick. That's obviously not going to happen. But I feel like you're going to see basically if he makes moves, it's just going to be about getting him off the books. With the exception of Brad Marchand, I think he's worth a little something. Maybe not a first at this point, but he makes a playoff team much better. He can play in the top six. He can play on special teams. He can still kill penalties at his age. He's got a cup before. And for his sake, if he wants to go, he's not quite Crosby, obviously, but like I think he should have some say in what he does at this point. If he wants to go, I think you try to make it happen. He has one ring back in 2011. He was 22 years old at the time. He's 36 now. You know what I mean? Like that's a lifetime ago. I think he deserves a chance to play for another ring. We don't even know if he's going to play next season. I think he probably will. Yeah. But like go give him a chance to win. I think it'd be good for hockey, good for him, and honestly good for the Bruins to get that cap space and that roster space back. So I'm trading just about everyone I can if I can.
If you can. This is where I think I don't know if I just think differently than all the other GMs. Like you look at Mike Greer or somebody when they were trading Carlson. We want 3 first round. I feel like you're gaining so much benefit by getting these guys off the books. I would give them away for free. If a team came knocking on Elias Lindholm, I would say yes, take him for free. Because you're gaining the 7.75 million on the salary cap, then you can go out and sign a really valuable piece for your team. So he's just been atrocious this year He's got 30 points in 60 games. Right? That's nowhere It's nowhere near where he should be. So, and I don't think GMs think the way I do. I would be a great GM to deal with, I guess, because I would be giving away all my good players. Like, yeah, he sucks. Take him. I don't want him. Nothing. Like, literally nothing. Future considerations gone. You're welcome. But take all the salary, too. But anyways, moving on. The team everybody wants to talk about, Tim, especially the Ottawa Senators. What's going on in Ottawa?
Well, they were looking really good going back to right before the Four Nations thing. They had won five in a row. Now they've lost five in a row. So they're a streaky team, which is not uncommon for teams that aren't that good, right? You win a two. What?
All our younger listeners, tell me if you know this reference. We're going streaking. I bet you they don't. That's how old we are. So if you know it, let us know in the comments if you know what that movie's that's from. Because a lot of people don't these days, Tim. That was over, I think, 15 years ago. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I don't think I even saw that when it came out. That was like, I was just too young at that point.
Don't say the name. We're going streaking.
Are the Senators competitors? No. But I think they absolutely should be focused on making the playoffs. I don't think there's a team, and I'm thinking off the cuff, tell me if I'm wrong. Is there a team in the NHL that needs, for their own sake, to make the playoffs more than the Senators? I don't think there is.
It's the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres.
I don't know.
Tim, the Sabres haven't made it in over a decade. They need it in a bad way. So, but yeah, that they're very Ottawa's close behind, close second. Yeah.
And I go back to the owner's comments a couple of years ago. So the verdict on the Senators that they should be buyers. I think you've got to get these guys some playoff experience. Brady Tkachuk, we've been salivating over the idea of that for like three straight years. Stützle has a point streak going right now. He's playing great. Shabbat, Norris, Batherson, Sanderson, who played excellent in the Four Nations tournament. Get these guys in the playoffs. Get this city excited about playoff hockey and just give us a chance to watch Brady Tkachuk do what he does in the playoffs. I don't know if there's a better player for it. And so, yeah, I don't think they're contenders by any stretch. But the idea of what Brady Tkachuk could do for his team to win a game or two more than they should, combined with if Allmark plays the way that we know he can play, it might be an interesting series to watch, whoever they get matched up against. So they don't have a lot of cap room to do a whole lot. So who knows what they'll actually do. They probably won't do a whole lot. But if I'm the GM, I'm looking to add some defensive depth. I think that's probably where they need a little bit of roster tinkering. But yeah, they should be focused on making the playoffs and pushing hard for it.
Yeah, it's a tough decision if you're Steve Staios because you have a lot of assets that other teams would like. David Perron, a Claude Giroux. Guys like that who you could get a good return from. But I agree with you. They need to get to the playoffs. They need to get these guys over that hump and just experience it. We saw Tkachuk in Four Nations. He was electric. Just imagine him first round versus the Washington Capitals. How fun. Or the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because it'd be much watch hockey.
Yeah.
Watch hockey? I'm saying it wrong. But yeah, they need to. I agree. Bye. But again, who do you give up? You don't got much. You got to trade your first rounder. What can you get? I don't know, but yeah. Go out and get something, some depth help up front, some defensemen, anything you can do. Get these guys in the playoffs because that'd be a lot. That young core, Tim, I'm with you. They're very, very good. But we got to see what they're made of. Like, who are they? Who is Stützle? Who is Batherson? Like, are they that guy you can rely on? We don't know. Never been to the dance. So get them there. I agree. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but at least give them a shot.
I think they do. I think it's Red Wings and Ottawa Senators in the two wild card spots.
Way to ruin the finale. Thanks, Tim. Gosh, you're the worst.
We didn't do any predictions. Okay, next one. The New York Rangers. This is probably the most challenging one on this list, at least for me. I don't think there's a more confusing team in the league based on our expectation for them before the season, what their roster looks like on paper. They should be at the top of the standings as they've been for the last five straight years, but they're not, right? They're like a couple points out of the wild card spot. They're going to be in this race until the end of the season. The good news is they won a couple of games in a row, and what they've got with JT Miller, not only from him, who has five goals, 9 points in 8 games since the trade, but he's also making the players better around him, specifically Mika Zibanejad. He's 11 points in 8 games since that trade when he was barely putting up half a point per game leading up to that. So you're seeing the players start to turn around a little bit. They're not winning all the games that they should, but this is a good sign if you're Chris Drury, where I think you probably want to be buyers at the deadline. And the other thing I'll mention before I throw it to you, John, is just today, Adam Fox is going to be on the IR long term. They're talking months. He might be back for the stretch run or like right up to the playoffs. I kind of suspect it's going to be one of those things where they might just hold on to him until the playoffs start, so they can use that cap space to go do something. But yeah, I'm thinking if you're the Rangers, you're buyers. You're just too good on paper not to be. And with Shesterkin, what he's capable of, I think you have to be all in.
I think you nailed it. There's nothing more to be said. When you have the guy that you have up front, that core six, so your first two lines are really good on paper. And we saw what Lafreniere did last year in the playoffs with Trocheck. They were very good. If you can just somehow, some way, get Panarin and Zibanejad to just play up to your potential. That's the issue. They never have all the guys going at the same time. JT Miller comes in, he's playing great, and Panarin's just kind of nowhere to be found. Zibanejad takes a dump, and Lafreniere is playing lights out. Trocheck's always been the kind of constant, but you need to get them all playing at the same time to be competitive and to be a really dangerous team. So I think you add whatever you can, but you've gone all in every single year and traded all your prospects, all your draft picks, everything. You do not have a first round pick this year. You do not have a second round pick this year. There's not a lot they can do. So I think this is it. This is their team, and it's a good team. I do think if they get it all together, they could be dangerous. They really, really could. So I think you hold pat and then go for it. You're just out of the playoffs. I think with Columbus, they're going to listen to us. They're going to sell. So there's a spot to be opened up. It's the Rangers and it's the Senators. Which one gets it? Because the Bruins ain't getting it, Tim. So it's one of those two teams who are going to join the Red Wings. So I do think the Red Wings will make the playoffs.
So you think it's the Rangers and the Wings? Do you think that's what it comes down to?
Are we doing our predictions right now?
Sure, we're going to move on to the West next, so what do you think?
Yeah, Rangers, Wings, and then the next closest team will be the Canadiens. I like the way the Canadiens have been playing. I think they've really got a good thing going there. I really like Montembeau, their goalie. I think he's really solid. Like he's a star. I mean, all right, moving West. Wild card situation, not as crowded as the East. There's really only a couple teams vying for one spot. I think we can all agree that the Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames, and the Utah Hockey Club will be vying for that second wildcard spot, because the Avalanche could potentially jump into the top three teams in, are they in the Central or the Pacific? Yeah,
Central.
They're in the Central. So yeah, they might catch the Minnesota Wild. Maybe Minnesota drops down, but Canucks, Flames, and Utah are not catching that first wildcard team. So it's really that last wildcard spot. And it's not as fun. The Canucks, everybody hates them. Nobody likes this team. They are just constantly... just, it's that itch you can't scratch. They're just annoying. They're always around. They're great last year. They had such great potential coming into this season, and they just sucked. They did the whole Bruce Boudreau thing a couple years ago where they made everybody excited, and they sucked. And now this year, Pettersson and JT Miller aren't happy, and then Thatcher Demko's got a million injuries. No one knows what to think of him, and then it's just a constant mess over there, and I'm over it. I really am. I want them all to go away. I hate talking about them, but it's so interesting because you look at this roster. It's really good. It's really good, Tim. When you look at this roster and you look at the stuff that these guys have done, and it's frustrating that they can't put it all together, but they're in the playoffs right now. And if I'm the GM of the Vancouver Canucks, which I'm not Patrick Alvin. If I'm him though, I'm selling everybody. I am selling everybody not named Quinn Hughes. That's it. That's the only guy I want to keep. That's the only guy I'm trying to prioritize. I'm just getting rid of everybody. Brock Besser, nice knowing you. Elias Pettersson, I'm trying to get rid of you. I know I won't be able to. Nobody wants you, you whiny baby, making $11.6 million and is on the decline in his career, and he's only 26. Nobody wants you. I'm trading Connor Garland, even though he's so incredibly good. You're going to get a bunch for him. Filip Hedl, see you later. Everybody, Tim. I think you need to rework this team. It's just not working. We've been there, done that. I keep Quinn Hughes. I try to trade everybody else, and that's it. Because there's nothing that I like about this roster. And That's just me. I hate it. I just don't like. And you know why? It's Elias Pettersson. He is the orchestrator of all this. He ran JT Miller out of town because they didn't get along. Listen, I know people. JT Miller was pushing him, trying to get him to do things he didn't want to do, and he just didn't like it. So he ran JT Miller out of town. Quinn Hughes saw the whole thing, and I think Quinn Hughes maybe sided with JT Miller. Maybe work a little harder, Elias. But now he's gone. And so now he's running the ship, and the ship's crashing into the shore. It's over. Brock Besser's going to want $9, $10 million. I don't blame Alvin for not wanting to pay him. You can get a pretty good return for him. But it's time, Tim. It's time to break this team down. Let's go regroup and move on, because they have no business being this bad with this many good players. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I'm selling, and I'm selling hard. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with just about everything you said there. I think the Besser one is going to be an obvious one. I think even if they feel like they can make the playoffs, Besser is still one they move on from. Just because if you look at like his timetable and their own timetable to contending again, it just doesn't sync up. And you can maximize a return from him. And there's a lot of teams that would love to have a top six scoring winger who's going to be hungry for some playoff experience. So I think that's an obvious one. And then the Pettersson one, well, first of all, they signed Marcus Pettersson. Great defenseman. He's looked really good since he joined that team. He's part of their future for sure. But the Elias one, I get the whole thing of like, okay, you're frustrated with him. He's not good enough. Everything about this looks bad for him. But don't you think that they're selling him at his absolute low if they try to ship him out now? Where they're going to get just basically pennies on the dollar, where just 6 months ago, you thought he was the cornerstone of your franchise moving forward, at least with Quinn Hughes. So don't you think it's a bad idea to sell when the value's so low?
Yeah, it is. It's a terrible idea. But I think when you look at his track record, he was a great player a couple years ago. But I don't know. I really don't know. You could potentially, Tim, and I went back and forth on this a long time when I was prepping for this episode. You look at what the Caps did. When they were competitive, they traded Dmitry Orlov. They got a first-round pick. They went out and flipped that for Erasmus Sandin. And then they went out and get Pierre-Luc Dubois last year for Darcy Kempfer in this offseason, excuse me. So you still sell, but you reload for next year. You're not selling the whole farm. You're not mortgaging the future. You do see you have value, but you're just kind of punting to next year. And I feel like if the Canucks do that, because they have a lot of valuable players here, if you can go out and trade a Brock Besser, trade a Connor Garland, trade some of these guys, but also be able to bring pieces back like they did last year with Filip Hronek. You know, when they got him, everybody was scratching their heads. Like, what are we doing here? This guy isn't really, we aren't a contending team. Then they go out and have a great year last year. So it's just, you can do it. It's been done. But should they? I don't know, because because we thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup. When you look at going into this season, who their core was, who were untouchable guys, they had Pettersson, they had Miller, they had Besser, they had Hughes, and Demko. Miller's gone. Pettersson's been terrible. Besser will be traded. Quinn Hughes doesn't want to be there anymore. And Demko is hurt, and he'll be the backup when he comes back because Laikkanen signed a long-term deal. He's their number one. So of the five guys, all of them have issues. So I don't know. It's such a nuanced situation. And there is a way to be a contender next year. I just don't know where it is. And I'll be honest, it's a hard decision.
Yeah, and I think it's similar to Boston in that they rely so much on one player. And if they sneak into the playoffs, it's going to be in the backs of that player. For them, it's Quinn Hughes, right? And so him alone might just be good enough to just drag his team into that second wild card spot. And I don't think that helps them at all. I think you're right to sell, but this is one of the, with the Rangers and maybe one or two other teams, one of the hardest GM jobs right now is what do you do with this mess? Because it's a mess for sure.
Gosh, Quinn Hughes at 60 points already.
He's pretty good.
In 48 games.
I don't care what people say. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, though everybody's wrong. They need to listen to us. He had 92 last year, Tim. This guy is like, he's unbelievable. All right, moving on. We got past the Vancouver Canucks. The only other team, really. And now we'll do the Utah Hockey Club. The Calgary Flames. Craig Conroy came out. He said, we want to make the playoffs. We intend to make the playoffs this year, which is a vast different from when they started the season, where, you know, we're regrouping, we're going to see where they are. They played great this year. We had Ryan Lomberg on the show talking about how we don't care about what's on the back. We care about the crest. Everybody's playing the same way. They went out and added Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee a couple weeks ago from the Philadelphia Flyers. They really haven't assimilated too well, but they're good players. I think they will pan out well for the Calgary Flames. I think the next week and a half before the trade deadline will dictate which way they go. They had a big win last night versus the Washington Capitals, 3-1. That was huge. They play playoff teams from here on out, with the exception of the Philadelphia Flyers. They play the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, and they finish off with the Dallas Stars. And then they get the Flyers. Those five games, Tim, will dictate which way Craig Conroy goes, in my opinion. They have a ton of salary cap space, $17 million, which is so valuable right now. They can be a third-party team. They can be a facilitator for other big deals. I think they should be buyers, but much like the Vancouver Canucks are, how I said they should be, I think they should be buyers for the future. Don't go get rentals, go out and trade and be active, but get players that help you out for the long term. It's a little bit harder to do, and maybe you have to take a risk here and there, maybe taking a player that a team doesn't want for the future because they aren't sure on him, maybe like a Pettersson. I know they're not getting him, but a player like that. But to help this team moving forward, because they have a lot of good pieces. There's not many untouchable guys. Conroy said that it's Uyghur, it's Kadri, and it's Anderson. Those are the guys we can't touch. Everybody else is available. So it's, I think you buy, but it all depends on the next five games. If we lose 4 of the 5, then we sell. If we win 4 of the 5, then we buy. And then if you're 500, I don't know what you do. But they're in a good position. They have a ton of cap space. They're not locked into a lot of bad contracts. And this is a good team to build around. So I don't know. I'm buying, Tim, which is, again, not usually my thing I usually say.
Yeah, I'm looking at their roster, and this is a question probably more for the fans who listen to the show. And if you haven't answered this, I'd love to know. Like, send us a tweet or whatever. Who's the next player on this roster who's going to have 90 points or even 80?
Oh, the Flames?
Yeah, like there's no one on their roster who's going to touch a point per game anytime soon. Is there anyone in the system? Like, they haven't been bad enough to have like these blue chip prospects and high draft picks. Like right now, there's a two-way tie with Huberdeau and Kadri with like 42 points in 57 games. Like, who's the next guy that's going to be a star on this team? I don't think he's there. And you're not bad enough to go, like, you look at even the bad teams and like you know the Celebrini's going to do it at some point. You look at even like an older bad team like Nashville and you think, okay, Forsberg has that in him still at some point in the next year or two. He will bounce back. Who is that guy on this team? I don't think they have it. So it's not really directly related to the deadline question, but it's something I'm thinking about is what is the future of this team? Because you've shown some things that was a good story early in the year, but where does the franchise go and how do they get there?
Yeah, I know they're excited about that Zane Parka kid.
Yeah,
Parika kid. But he's a defenseman, so he's not going to get 100 points. But I don't know. Yeah, it's... I don't see anybody in their system that's going to be that guy, and you need that guy to be competitive. So, you know, it'd be great. Like a gritty forward who's just a playoff-tested, grizzled forward would be great on this roster, who just you want to go to battle with and drive through a wall with. Like a Tkachuk.
He'd be great.
Someone like that would be terrific.
And by the way, I'm not trolling. Like, if you're a fan and you know who this kid is or this guy that I'm just not seeing, please tell us, because I would love to know. But yeah, I don't see it unless I'm just missing something.
I think I'm going to go to be determined on my verdict. It's going to depend on the next really three games. Can they win? They're on a 2-game winning streak, which isn't great. But, you know, if they continue this, then they will be buyers getting that playoff Craig Conroy. Like, all right, last team, Utah Hockey Club. They're 4 points back. They played one more game, the Canucks, so essentially that could be a 6-point swing there that they're behind the Vancouver Canucks. I like this core, Tim. I like what the Utah Hockey Club has done this year. They played well. That Cooley kid is really good, Logan Cooley. I like him great. A lot. He's playing with Clayton Keller. They're playing really well. Hayton, they got Doan, they got Gunther, Sergachev. They got another good young defenseman, Kessel Ring, who's playing really, really good. So I think you buy, but again, you don't get rentals. You buy long-term help to try to help these guys moving forward. Their window is vastly approaching. You need to start winning now if you're the Utah Hockey Club, much like the Detroit Red Wings. You have to make a stand at some point and say, we're going for it. We have to win. So sell if you can. Sell your vets. You got Ian Cole, Olimata, Kerfoot and Bukestad. Those are pieces you could trade for second, third rounders, but also get some long-term help. And it's hard to do, but try. I don't think you can just punt to next year for this team. You have to make a push for the playoffs and start trying. Just like the Ottawa owner said 3 years ago, I know he took a lot of heat for him, Melnick. We're going to win. And we're going to win now. They go and get Claude Giroux. They trade for Chychrun. They did. They went for it. You have to give them credit for that. I don't think the Utah Hockey Club has done that yet, and I want to see them go for it. I know they brought in Durzi and got Sergachev. Keep going. Keep trying. So if I'm them, I'm selling my vets, but I'm also trying to bring in some guys that can help for the future, which is like, obviously everybody wants to do that, and it's fun to say it, but yeah, they won't make the playoffs. So that's my prediction. All right, let's do some quick hits and get out of here, Tim.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. I forget who tweeted it out, but they pointed out that in 57 games this year, Connor Bedard has had 36 different line combinations, which is just wacky. We know the talent's not there, but he's not even getting a chance to like build any chemistry or momentum. So just something to think about for the Blackhawks when they address their moves this summer.
I think is more Bedard that guy? That's the thing. Like, do we need to reevaluate? Is he the next generational talent?
He is the next generational talent. Don't get me started.
Who would you take now, Tim? Sorry, him or Celebrini? Which one do you want?
Yeah, I know. I hate this question. I'll say Celebrini. But I feel like there's a little bit of recency bias there. Fun quote from Spencer Carberry, the Washington Capitals coach. He said, quote, "I haven't talked to Ovi about this yet, but this is my guess. When it comes to that point, I don't think he's going to want to break it with an empty netter," which I think we all kind of feel like is going to come. So when they get to like 895 or whatever that number is, I think he's just stopped being on the ice in empty net situations. Just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. It's so mean. Yeah.
Taylor Hall is talking extension with Carolina.
Let's go back to that. Why? Because their empty netter is not the same as a regular goal.
No, but you know that the winning one has to be a good goal. But
why, Tim? A goal's a goal.
It should be a one-timer on the power play. That's what he should do. That's what he did like 600 goals with.
But if all things are equal, then why wouldn't that? It shouldn't matter if a goal's a goal. So he's just stamping my point. Empty netters are not the same as a regular goal.
Okay.
I would not be upset if they took away all my empty netters. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, and you're down to only four goals, John.
Hey, four more than a lot of guys.
Yeah, okay. So I just mentioned Taylor Hall's talking extension with Carolina, and he's going to sign probably a 2 or 3 year deal with them. But on the other hand, Darren Dreger said that as of today, which was yesterday, he believes Mikko Rantanen has no interest in talking contract. It could change. They're talking just about every day leading up to this. And he said, Nietzsche's, meanwhile, is loving life in Colorado. I don't think Rantanen's having any fun right now. And as you look at the point by point comparisons, Rantanen has 3 points in 8 games since the trade. Nietzsche's had 3 points last night. He has 11 points in 8 games since the trade. So there's some glaring, you know, differences here.
This has been a hot button topic on our Patreon page. We're going back and forth in this, and people have been saying, no, Rantanen, I'm going to talk to Rantanen about Carolina. Rantanen's not on the market. Rantanen is on the market. They're just, you know, blowing it up to get clicks on Chicklets and these people. I think he is on the market. I think if you're the Hurricanes and you can't re-sign him, you have to trade him, because then you just let Martin Nietzsche walk for nothing. And Nietzsche is a great player, as we can see. So I don't know.
So all the reports are that they're offering like $13 million a year, or whatever, these huge numbers. If he gets moved, do you think it's going to be nominally because that they couldn't agree to a deal? But I wonder if part of it's just they changed their mind on which horse they want to hitch their wagon to. And they're like, you know what? We don't feel like this is the fit for the future of our franchise. I wonder if that's going to be part of it.
I don't know. I think they do whatever they can to re-sign him. I don't think he doesn't go there because Carolina changed their mind all of a sudden. They need to re-sign him. He's a good player. But it just begs the question. Is MacKinnon just that good?
He is. The answer is yes.
You can just put whoever beside him and they're successful? Because
well, like Huberto and Barca,
good.
Right?
I know. Yeah. So it just speaks to how great MacKinnon is. Because he gets Nietzsche's nachos and he's playing great. And now Rantanen, he's playing good, but he's got, what, three points?
Yeah.
So it's just, man, MacKinnon's good. So anyways. Moving on.
That's it. So, trade deadline next week. We'll have plenty to talk about, and we might see some trades this weekend the way things are going. So stay tuned.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Sorry this one went a little long, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll talk to you guys next week. Cheers.